Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We'll be keeping an eye out for it. We know you will as well. And, you know, one of these days, Andy, we're going to have to get back together when we both have some time to talk, because you need to tell me about Weather Machine. Weathermachine.com is one of Andy's projects as well. And you can find more information online there. But Andy Parker, what a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for taking us through it.
You got it, John. Anytime.
You got it. Take care. And yeah, as we look forward to these next couple of days, yes, it's going to hurt. It sounds like a great time to stay inside. Pasquale, you actually came into work today, so thank you for that. But yeah, you got any plans to go out over the weekend, or are you shutting the door as soon as you get home and staying inside?
My wife and I were talking about going to Skinny Atlas. They're doing a Dickens Christmas type deal, and that's headed out towards Syracuse.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Yeah. All right. So you're going to get east of it. You're not going to have to as much to worry about with the weather. You staying overnight?
No, actually, it's a bit of a day trip. We were going to head out, do the whole thing, get some food, easier said than done, and then drive back. But if those plans fall through, I believe we're going to get our Christmas tree and just kind of hunker down.
Attaboy. Yeah, you are a brave, brave man. I'll tell you, I mean, you think about all of the things that we've been through before. I mean, I remember talking to my sister. There was a nasty blizzard, and I'm trying to remember what it was. This is probably about 15 years ago. And at the time, she was living in Amherst. And it was one of those deals where you start shoveling the driveway, and by the time you get down to the street and turn around, you look behind you, you got to go back up and start shoveling the driveway again, because it's constant. I think that was an 8-foot snow event that that we got that time around. But you know, for us old guys, we still love sitting around talking about 1977. And I will never forget it. I mean, thankfully, we're not going to see anything quite like that. But that was just, it was the most unbelievable weather that I've ever been involved in. And I've been through, living in all different areas of the country, lived in Florida for a long time, and I've been through hurricanes. And yeah, it's not fun. And certainly, I mean, with some of the devastating storms that we saw this year in Florida and in the Carolinas, it can do that kind of damage. But there's something about being snowed in. And I'll never forget opening the front door of our house and seeing snow with like the embossed shape of our front door in it. You know what I mean? It's just solid from top to bottom. And it was just so wild. I mean, you know, everything, the kids playing in the street, like right next to the street light, standing on top of the snow. I don't know what else to say about it other than that is one of those memories that's absolutely indelible. And every time I hear that we're going to get feet of snow again, I go right back there. I'm 8 years old again. I'm a little kid, and I'm just, you know, waiting for all of this stuff to crank up. There was a crazy story about that day. So I may have told this one before. If I have, sorry. It's a great story. I just love it. But on that day in 1977, when the blizzard started, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be bad. So my mom and my sister's 5 years older than me. So I was 8. She was probably 12 or 13. And they went out early in the morning to go to Tops to get groceries and stuff so that we would be okay for the weekend. And my dad went to work. If you've not heard us when we have get together here before, I've mentioned a time or two that I grew up in Kenmore, and we ran a pizza restaurant on Delaware Avenue called Pico's. And so dad went into the store to just kind of shut everything down. And the idea was he was going to leave around noon or 1 o'clock and just close everything down because there was no point in staying open. Nobody was going to come in. And we didn't want any of the employees there anyway. You know, trying to get home during a blizzard is not fun. So what ended up happening was Dad went in and got stuck there. I don't remember why, but he couldn't leave as early as he wanted to. So finally got in his car, and it wasn't quite white out yet, but it was getting there. And we only lived maybe, I don't know, 5 miles away. So he got down Delaware Avenue, got under the Youngman Expressway, started heading down into Kenmore, which is where we lived at the time. And the car conked out. So now it's whiteout. I mean, it's just unbelievable conditions. And he's trying to get home. And I mean, for those of you who are not around yet back then, you may, I'm sure you've heard the history, you know, again, when we sit around talking about it. And there were people who died in their front yards because they got lost, you know, between the car and the house. Dad, thankfully, was not one of them, but that's part of the story. So, as he was walking home, because there was no other choice. I mean, the car simply couldn't get through anymore. So he parked it and started walking. I was sort of walking down Delaware Avenue toward where we were. And at that time, and I think it might still be there, although I think the building is different now, there was a standalone Dunkin' Donuts at, I think, Girard in Delaware. And so he somehow found it. And that's, he stopped in there. They were still open. They hadn't shut down yet. I still to this day don't know why, but he was able to get in, get warm, get a cup of coffee, and then make the rest of the journey home, which from that point was 4 blocks, 5 blocks, something like that. So he did and ended up finding his way home and was so cold. I mean, he was wearing one of those parkas with the fur around the, you know, looking like Nanook of the North, had the fur around the hood and the whole nine. And layers and layers and layers of clothing on. So by the time he got inside, he was able to get the jacket off, but the rest of his clothes were frozen to him. You ever had your clothes freeze, the Pasquale? I mean, this is a sensation that very few people have ever lived through. So he had to get into the tub with all of his clothes on and start putting warm water in the tub so that he could thaw his clothes out to get them off. And then finally was able to warm himself up. It was absolutely unbelievable. You ever had something like that happen?
I have. I grew up on the mean streets of North Tonawanda, and I wasn't far enough to get a bus. So I had to walk to school on a lot of days. And I remember, as long as it was getting home and I could jump in the bathtub, as you mentioned, that was fine. But going to school was a little embarrassing. If your ears were a little bit too red, your hair was messed up, and you looked like you just went through whatever, you know, it was a struggle.
Not to mention your nose running down your face to the point that it's, and that freezes, and that's always fun. It's like, oh yeah. When they used to do the sidewalks, so after we would get the snow like that, and they would do the sidewalks through Kenmore, because I was in the same situation you were. I used to walk to school every day. It was only, again, maybe 5 or 6 blocks. And I can remember walking through, they would take a snowblower and do all of the sidewalks. So there was like a wall on either side of you. So you're walking down a hallway of snow all the way to school. And there were times when it was so tall that we couldn't see over it. So we were just like, well, I hope school's that way. I seem to remember it was over there when I left.
I used to love that machine, though. I would hope that it would come by as I was walking, because I like to see it do its thing and make, you know, clear my path for me.
Absolutely. So, yeah, if you've got some stories or some memories, or you want to talk about what's going on now in the weather, by all means, the lines are open for you. You can get in here, 716-803-0930. And I mean, you're a fairly young guy. What's the worst you've been through? Was there a particular year that, you know, or a particular snowstorm that you remember that was worse than any of the others?
I think the blizzard 2 years ago now at this point.
22,
A few of us were stuck here at the radio station for, actually, James, who just left, was here for, I think, 5 or 6 days. I was lucky to leave Christmas afternoon. I got Joe Beamer. We got out of here. But some people were stuck here longer just because of the amount of snow and how quickly it accumulated. And I'm sure we'll have like another in-depth conversation about that whole ordeal in the weeks to come here on WBEN.
No doubt. No doubt. And yeah, that's another kind of a funny thing. I mean, there are things that will, I don't know how many people ever get stuck at work. I mean, I'm sure with snow, that's probably the story that most people have when it comes to getting stuck at work. But if you work in radio or you work in television or you work in news of any kind, there are all kinds of things that can happen where you're all of a sudden going to be at work for a few days. And it's weird to try to relate that to people. Like first Gulf War, it was January 15th of 1990. And when that started, and I'll never forget it, we were out at dinner. That was my ex-wife's birthday, and we were still married at that point. And so we ended up going out to dinner, and then I got the phone call right in the middle of dinner saying, yeah, you need to come back in. We just went to war. We'll do some more talking in just a little bit. If you want in with us, 716-803-0930, 716-803-0930. John Grayson in for Tom Bowerly this afternoon. It is a Friday afternoon. John Grayson in for Tom Bowerly today on WBEN. Glad to have you along for the ride. And we're talking a little bit about, well, what's on everybody's mind right now, because it may screw up football and we can't have that. But yeah, the weather is, it's coming, and they're talking about measuring snow in feet. We're going back and doing a little reminiscing about times we've been through this in the past and what's going on now. So if you want to get in on what you're seeing around you, by all means, 716-803-0930 will get you here. And we'll kick off with Jack, who's calling in from North Buffalo. Hello. Hey, Jack.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Doing fine. What's happening?
Here we go from my Miami of the North. I just had a little anecdote here from the blizzard of 77. There was no real, nobody knew ahead of time like they do now. And yeah. I was downtown Buffalo. Allen Main Street, I worked down there, and all of a sudden it hit, and our place closed down, and I was trying to take a bus from downtown Buffalo to North Buffalo. Couldn't get in the bus, so I had a windbreaker, sneakers, no gloves, and I walked from Carlton and downtown Buffalo and Parkside and Hurdle.
Oh, man. Oh. That's a hike.
Oh, it was a good hike.
that's a hike in good times, man. So what kind of shape were you in when you finally got home?
Well, thank God. I'm a 20-year-old kid at the time.
Yeah.
So thank God I was in good shape and could do stuff like that. And all I did was jump in the hot shower. What are you going to do? And just relax.
That's it. Hey, thank you, my friend. Take care of yourself, Jack. And stay inside this weekend, please. That was another thing. I got a couple of things I want to get into, one of which you heard during the news just a few minutes ago, and another one is going to take me back to stories about Dad. But before we get there, let's bring in Joe in Buffalo. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
I was 11 years old during the blizzard of 77. I used to walk to school, grew up on Hewitt, in Park Ridge, in North Buffalo, or mm-hmm. East Side, whatever some people call it. It was about 8 blocks. I remember going home at around noon, and that was, I think they sent us home early that day. I do remember Picos on Bailey, and I think it was, the cross street was Berkshire, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that was by the time I was born, because at one time I think we had 7 or 8 stores. And by the time I was born, we were down to just 2. And it was the one on Bailey and the one on Delaware. And then the one on Bailey, I think, closed before we left in 1979. So, it was around for a while. But that was a great store.
So my favorite part of Pico's was their assorted sub with oil and their Loganberry. They used to have a machine on the counter that would look like a big square box and it would recirculate.
Yep.
It was just, oh my God, it was delicious.
I can still see it dripping down from the top of that thing. You're right, that big clear square thing. Oh yeah, I remember it well.
Their pizza was, oh my gosh. You should reintroduce the recipe. Yeah, I'm telling you.
I will. I tell you what, I know where it is. I don't have it personally. It's not in my possession, but I know where it is. So one of these days, Joe, we'll talk about bringing it back.
All right. Thanks, John.
Appreciate it, buddy. Take care. 716-803-0930. Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, there is nothing that brings people together like pizza. In all of my travels around the country and everything like that, I have never found anything like what we have in Buffalo. Buffalo style pizza. I try to explain it to people and they're like, but I don't get it. And yeah, I know you don't, because you have to go and you have to. And there are still, I mean, there's some great pie in town, even though Pico's is long gone. There are some just absolutely terrific places to get pizza. And that's, my favorite thing to do is show people like the map of the city of Buffalo with all of the chain pizza restaurants. And I'm talking about the national chains, where there aren't any. There's like a half a dozen. We're in a city this size. Any other place in the country, you're going to find 20, 30, of all of the national chains. I don't want to call them out by name, but the ones that I'm talking about. And they just know better. They know they're not going to be able to compete here, so they just don't, which is fine. So, yeah, if you want in, 716-803-0930. A couple of things I wanted to get into, though, and one of which I'm glad that we ran the story during the bottom of the hour news, because I was a little disappointed, I guess, is probably the best word to use, when I read the story earlier today about the road rage incident on Millersport Highway. And what really got to me about this is, and I don't know what to ascribe this to. If you've got theories of your own on this, then by all means, feel free to bring it forward. But what really got to me is, look, I've so had it with road rage in general, and this rage and that rage, and everybody seemingly being on a razor's edge all the time. And I know we've talked about some of this before, that there just seems to be it seems like it used to take people longer to get angry. Do you know what I mean? That it was, you still had fights. Yeah. And people would still, do dumb things to each other, like happened on Millersport Highway. But it seems like now, if there's a difference to it at all, and maybe it's just me being older than I was then and understanding the world a little bit better, but maybe it isn't. Because I remember when the phrase road rage really started to come into the fore in general usage in the news, it was around 1987 or 88. And we first started hearing that, and it was like, road rage? Really? I mean, just two jerks in traffic who want to scream at each other and punch each other? All right, now it's got a name. But it seems like that's really the difference, that it's not an argument that escalates and, two guys who maybe have tipped a couple or whatever, just going at each other. It's, you cut me off in traffic, and my first response is to go right to the top, of just uncontrollable anger. And I'm not picking on anybody in particular here. I mean, I've always said, I'm never going to accuse you of anything that I'm not guilty of myself. We've all been there, and it's like, you jerk, what did you do? And it just, maybe it's my own fuse, that I feel like has gotten shorter over time. Longer in some ways, but shorter in others. And I don't know why that is. And I guess what really got to me about this story from last night, and again, if you missed the details on it, road rage incident, two guys in traffic, and it ended with a gunshot. And now there's a guy, Keith Pritchett, 32 years old, who was arrested behind this and now facing all kinds of charges. First degree assault, second degree criminal possession of a weapon, first degree reckless endangerment, all because what? All because he got involved in some kind of altercation with another guy in traffic, a 24-year-old who was shot in the thigh on Thanksgiving. And that's the piece of it. And that's why it really disappointed me, is that I know stuff like this happens. We all know stuff like this happens. But it's Thanksgiving, man. I mean, come on. You can't get through Thanksgiving Day without getting involved in such a nasty incident with another person, that you pull out a gun and fire at him because of something that happened in traffic. Now, you think about the worst thing, right, that could happen in traffic would be a wreck. Now, I don't know in this incident in particular, because they didn't give us much of the details about the incident itself. I don't know if anybody hit anybody, or I mean, anybody's car hit anybody else's car, or if this was just somebody cut somebody off, or somebody did something and made a move the other guy didn't like. Maybe somebody gave a finger. Who knows? But it escalated to the point where somebody ended up shot on Thanksgiving Day. And if that day, if the day that's supposed to be about family and good times and feeling good and eating a lot of food, and if that's going to end with some guy firing a gun at another guy because of something that happened in traffic, over what? And here's where I was going with that, is that if the worst thing that can happen is an actual wreck, and we don't know that that happened in this case, we don't know that it didn't, but if the worst thing that can happen is a wreck, so what? So your car has a dent in it now. Get it fixed. And I mean, isn't that why we all have to have insurance? And so all the things, and if it wasn't that, if it was somebody flipping somebody else off in traffic, even worse, so somebody flipped you off, so what? And now this guy at age, how old did I say he was? 30? Yeah, 32. At age 32, is going to have to go and upend his entire life. And it's his own fault. I mean, I'm not sitting here, you know, crying my eyes out for him. He made a decision. It was a really bad decision, but he made a decision. And so this guy's out there and he's going to have to upend his whole life. He's going to have to go get a lawyer. He's going to have to face these charges. Who knows, may face jail time because of these charges, or prison time, you know, depending on what the charges end up with and what happens while he's in court. But you're going to have to go through all of this now because you couldn't keep your head on Thanksgiving Day. On your, presumably, because it was 8:30 at night, presumably on your way home from Thanksgiving dinner. And you've got that belly full of food and you've got, you know, everything that had, and maybe that's it. I mean, honestly, let's back up a step. Maybe the hard feelings started during Thanksgiving dinner. It has been known to happen. But yeah, I don't understand why we can't get through a day like Thanksgiving without somebody losing his cool and shooting somebody. We've got to be better than that. And if you want to weigh in on that and talk about maybe ways to do that, maybe ways that we can all learn. I've had a lot of discussions with people over time about conflict resolution. And I know it's a weird thing to bring up on the day after Thanksgiving, but bear with me, because I'm sure, you know, when we listen to the news this evening and into tomorrow, we may hear about things that happened this morning during all the Black Friday sales and the doorbusters and all of that nonsense, because people go crazy. I mean, I've seen punches thrown at sale events. I've seen people rip things, you know, at sale events. I've seen all the craziness. So, you know, we may hear about even more of this come tomorrow. But on a day like that, where you can't, if something happens in traffic, and here's what I mean about conflict resolution, we don't do a great job, I don't think, teaching ourselves and teaching our kids by extension how to do that, how to do threat mitigation and conflict resolution and de-escalation and all these words. And all these phrases that we hear usually centered around what? Police work, right? That's now a big deal because, I mean, we don't want somebody who's going through some kind of mental health crisis shot dead because they do something wrong when a police officer is there. So now there's all kinds of efforts and more talk about sending social workers along with the police, you know, for that de-escalation and teaching police better de-escalation techniques. You know, because look, I don't want a cop to have to live with shooting somebody either. I know a lot of times it's part of the job, but if you can get through a career without taking a life, I'm sure if you ask every cop on the job, he would rather go through his career never having taken a life. So, you know, if for them and for the rest of us, we have to do a better job at teaching each other about this stuff, at talking about it and making it make sense when you've got somebody who is in a situation where they're angry, where you know, it's a situation that's going to make anybody angry, but they have to be able to stop before throwing a punch, firing a gun, doing whatever. And can that start in school? I know a lot of it has to start with us too, as parents. We had four boys and they're all adults now, but we had four of them. And so over time that presents some challenges. I mean, there are fights that take place when you have kids who are, separated by maybe 10 years, all told, all four of them. And so those conflicts are going to happen at home. They're also going to happen at school. And we had to do that, especially with one of ours. He is the third oldest, I guess, or second youngest. And we had to do some real serious work with him when he started to get into his teenage years, because he got into a pattern of taking everything personally. The stuff, you know what high schools are like, and we give each other stick and we're just, all the time joking around with each other and putting each other down and all of that stuff. And he didn't like that. He didn't understand it. He took it all personally. He thought everybody was out to get him and was really going down a long road that was leading to a bad place. And so we did several times over the course of years, sit him down and say, look, you've got to change your attitude about a lot of this stuff. And here are some things that you can do that will help you do that. And recognize not everybody sits there trying to figure out how to make your life worse, And because he really did. He really was of the opinion that everybody was out to get him. And it worked. And he has, as an adult now, he is a very, very calm and grounded individual. He just turned it around, night and day difference, but it took work. And I don't think we know how to talk to each other very well about those kinds of things. We don't know how to have those conversations about how not everything has to be a fight. And by the way, not every fight you're invited to, do you have to join? You have the ability to turn around and walk away from a fight. And I know it sounds like I'm trying to be Mr. Rogers. It's not what I mean, but I think there's a lot of truth to a lot of that stuff. And if it stops one guy from pulling out a gun in a road rage incident and firing it through somebody else's thigh, then it's worth it. It's worth doing. Now, I'd love to tell you that I have all the answers and I know how to do this and I know how to get this done. I don't anybody any better than anybody else does. But I would love to talk to you about it and how, I mean, for those of us who don't get in fights and don't walk around armed and listen, if you have the permits and you walk around armed, fine. I don't want to get into a gun debate. I just don't, you know what I mean? I never felt the need, and whatever else anybody else does is fine. But I learned a long time ago how to walk away from a fight. So, if you want to talk about some of those things into the next hour, I would love to hear from you. 716-803-0930, 716-803-0930. And we'll get to the phones. We'll do some talking about that. But just how, I mean, of all the things that they don't teach in schools, the education that we didn't get, things like, in my experience going through school, I don't know if it's still like this, but they were terrible about giving us any education on how to deal with money. And you look around, how many people do you know who've been through a bankruptcy? I'm raising my hand. Okay. So we don't teach those kinds of skills, and we certainly don't seem to anyway, at least not anywhere near as much as we used to teach the kinds of skills that can let us know how to stop a conflict before it starts, or at least before it gets out of hand. So if you're seeing this same kind of thing, if you're seeing things trend toward maybe not more violent, because I think overall, if you look at the numbers, we're actually less violent, but more quick to violence, what can we do about it? How can we knock the temperature down just a little bit so that the next time on Thanksgiving night, somebody driving home gets a fender bender or gets the finger or gets cut off and knows how to deal with it without firing a gun into somebody else's body? If you want to get in, as I said, we'll do some talking into the next hour of the show. Got so much more planned for you. We'll continue to keep an eye on the weather, on the upcoming Bills game, and what that will mean come Sunday night if they do indeed get the game in.